Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Acts and just wading through the 20th chapter right now. Loved the story from last episode, the story of Eutychus. Young man falls asleep during the preaching. Falls three stories down, is dead, and yet God raises him through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And what a great way by which God showed himself strong. Verse 13 of our text, so we're in Acts chapter 20 and verse 13, and we went, so anytime in the book of Acts you see the word we, then you know that Luke is in the group at that point. When Luke refers to Paul and his team by saying he or they, then you know that Luke is not including himself as part of that particular episode. So verse 13, and we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day, we arrived at Samos. Forgive me, my friends, my 54-year-old eyes are struggling here. And tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. So essentially, John, they're working their way down the east side of the Aegean Sea. They've come from Troas. They're making these little day voyages, at least for part of the voyage. Luke said, Paul said, I'm going to walk. You guys can take the boat. I'll meet you there. I just find that interesting. We don't know why. Why did he do that? I don't know. Maybe he just preferred walking. Maybe he felt seasick. Maybe he just needed time alone. I don't know. But it's interesting. And verse 16, when they arrived at Miletus, Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So we already know that it had been the Feast of Unleavened Bread back up in verse 6. So Pentecost is, 50 days later. So Paul's got quite a bit of distance to cover. He wants to speedily get to Jerusalem, but he also has some certain non-negotiable spots he wants to stop at, one of which was Ephesus.
It is interesting to see what Paul is doing, and you're right, he does have to make haste to get back across the Mediterranean, to get back to Jerusalem. Paul does have a heart to get there, and it's going to be interesting to see as the story unfolds what Paul says about his journey and what God says to him about it. But Paul does have the great desire from Miletus to meet with the people at Ephesus. He has a very dear heart for them, as we mentioned in the last episode, and Paul wants to see them for a last time.
So Ephesus is a little bit inland, not far, and it was not uncommon for a larger city to have a port city that through which the people would travel and trade industry would take place. So for Ephesus, the port city was Miletus. The Bible says in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So Paul doesn't have time for a big meeting. He doesn't have time to stay for another Sunday. He's just got to make do with the time that he has. And he feels like the best way to make this final personal influence to the church at Ephesus, not that he never has contact with them again. He may have even gone back to Ephesus, for that matter. But on this at this point in his journey, the best way for him to influence them is to call their leadership.
You know, it's interesting that so many verses in this chapter are devoted to this meeting. But God wants us to see what Paul says to these church leaders and the heart Paul has for them. And what Paul tells them as we go throughout this today in the next few episodes is going to be great information even in our churches today.
There's a great template here that the Apostle Paul not only embodied in this chapter, but he also taught in verses like 2 Timothy 2:2. And that is, if we're going to have exponential influence for the gospel, we're going to have to identify key leaders and invest in them. And Paul here had invested and was continuing to invest in key leaders. Now, he had already invested in Timothy, obviously, in being a key leader in Ephesus. But these elders, he was investing in them, realizing that these were they who would be doing the investments daily in the people's lives. The disciplers, these are the preachers, these are the teachers of the Bible.
You know, that's such a key concept you mentioned, Pastor. We even see in the life of Christ, where Christ invested his life, particularly in 12 men, and even in that, particularly three of them were even the inner circle of Christ. And in church ministry, we have our time is limited. You know, we wish we could do a lot more than we do sometimes possibly, but our time is limited. And so as we invest in key people, then that will help them be more effective in their ministry. And what God will use us for then will have a much greater impact than if we try to do everything on our own.
The leaders in a ministry are typically ones that are spiritually mature. They ought to be, at least. And people that are spiritually mature don't need to be coddled. They don't need to be reacted to because of petty concerns. And if we're not careful, then we don't give them attention because they're not requiring attention. They're not a whining toddler that's crying for a bottle or crying for a toy. And therefore, we don't give them time. And we end up making ministry all about responding to the cries, responding to the whining, responding to the squeaky wheel. And that's a very poor way to do ministry, because then you spend your ministry babysitting people that aren't growing instead of investing in people that are growing, that are going to help you bear the load in those areas where people need these additional leaders.
You know, I think, Pastor, my own life even, been in church ministry in times when I would get away with like a staff retreat with just the pastoral staff. What a great time that was, enriching, like a good shot in the arm. I think even here recently, our own church staff, you know, having time for a planning day. What just a great day of fellowship that was. It really does give you a boost to keep moving on.
And really, in the life of a church, how much is accomplished in a meeting like that? Because, you know, iron sharpens iron, and godly men gathering together with a common purpose and talking through how best to minister to God's people. These are important meetings. And I like what you said a few minutes ago, and that is, maybe that's why there's so much attention given to this meeting. It certainly made an impression on Luke.
It surely did. And as I'm excited to go, this is one of my favorite parts of Acts, actually, because we see a lot of good things that Paul tells them here.
Yeah, you see really a synopsis. The Apostle Paul's offering a synopsis of what a season of his ministry looked like. And so in that sense, it's very wise for us as especially preachers to study this passage and know the heart and the methodology of the Apostle Paul. Verse 17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, he called the elders of the church, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What an opening sentence. The Apostle Paul says, hey guys, let me give you a little general statement about my ministry, but it's really superfluous that I do because you know, You were here. You saw it. Everything I'm telling you right now, you can give testimony that this is true.
You know, this is a powerful statement that he opens up with, Pastor. There's a lot that's packed in here, frankly, in what Paul says here. But you're right. Paul says, you know what I've been like. You know, I've not been some charlatan. I've come to you. I've been sincere. I've given my heart. I've wept. I've cried. No, I've sweated. I have been in the trenches doing the ministry. And these people have been there with Paul. They have served God together.
You know, there's so much to say about this opening section, but just a couple thoughts that immediately come to my mind. And that is, when it came to Paul's ministry, there was a sense of urgency from the first day. I mean, Paul, from the very first day, he always had a sense of urgency. Every day matters. Let's get busy. Let's serve God. Then the Bible says, after what manner I have been with you. And so testimony matters. Not only does urgency matter, but testimony matters. It wasn't just what the Apostle Paul said, but the very demeanor that he assumed, serving the Lord with humility, tears, in temptations. In other words, there was a faithful stick-to-itiveness in the life of the Apostle Paul. And then I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. So the Apostle Paul said, the one motivation in my ministry was, I'm going to tell people what they need to hear. It's a good mother saying, I'm not going to give you junk food. It might be what you want. It might be what your flesh craves, but I'm going to give you what's profitable for you. And that was the heart of the Apostle Paul.
You know, it is, Pastor. We see that in other places in Paul's epistles. You know, he said to beware of people, that teachers that want to just come and kind of tickle your ears. He says, you need the truth of God. And Paul was forthright with people. He gave them the truth of God, but with a heart of compassion. He spoke the truth in love, as he talks about in Ephesians 4:15. He wanted them to know Jesus Christ, and he wanted them to walk with Christ and be the Christian that God designed them to be.
So there was urgency. There was humility, there was faithfulness, but then I like what it says, I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So he was faithful to the public services, but above and beyond that, he met with people in their homes, little small discipleship groups, prayer meetings, small group meetings, we'd call them today. But the Apostle Paul, just every single day, because of the urgency of it, because of the finite amount of time he had, was investing in these people.
You know, when I see this, Pastor, I think of Paul. You know, ministry was not just a 40-hour-a-week job. He punched a time clock. He was always looking for people. And it reminds us as Christians, maybe you're a Christian and you don't have vocational ministry. Maybe you have a job where you work in the public somewhere. But all of us, being a Christian is not just a part-time job. Being a Christian is a 24/7. As God opens up opportunities, we are serving God and ministering as God gives us opportunities to do so. And what a great privilege it is.
And he didn't make any distinction. He went to the Jew, as was his stated philosophy. He went to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, two sides of the same coin. True faith, true salvation involves the changing of one's mind, that's repentance. The investment of one's trust, that's faith. And this, the same gospel and the same road of the gospel applies to Jew and to Gentile alike.
You know, I think as Paul begins this, he reminds them of the kind of man he's been with him and how they've been a man he would trust. It kind of reminds me of Moses in the Old Testament sometimes when he would speak to the people of Israel. He would talk about, you know what I've done. And Paul here is about to give them some pretty sound words and some advice they need to follow. And he wants them to remember, look, before I give you this advice and these things you need to be doing, remember who I've been and what I've done and how the heart I have for you.
This is my resume. You know my resume. Now listen to what I'm about to say. But you're going to have to wait until next episode, my friends, to hear what he's about to say, because we are out of time. So thanks for joining us again today. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.